The Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Middle of the week, it's a Wednesday, June 23rd. Thanks for listening to EWTN. So appreciate your listenership and support for this amazing network. We have a great program lined up for you today. We have some guy by the name of, I think it's pronounced, is it Grandi? Dr. Ray Guarendi, that's who it is. Brand new book. Actually, we tease these guys a lot, but this is a really, really good book. You have to rush and get a copy of it. ASAP. Jesus, the Master Psychologist, Listen to Him. I love books that offer insight into what our Lord is trying to tell us about who He is, who we are, and how we are supposed to relate to one another. Because, come on, we're having a lot of problems with relating with one another right now. And there's a lot of mean girl, mean boy syndrome going on out there, even in the Catholic world. And I think we need to be aware of how to treat each other more like Jesus would treat each other. Amen to that. So Dr. Ray is going to be joining us. We have two segments with him on his brand new book. And then, of course, it's a Wednesday, which means we go to Rome to speak with our very own Joan Lewis. And a beautiful, beautiful effort. The Vatican, the Holy Father, has now issued a Grandparents' Day. So that's really interesting and very wonderful for all the grandparents out there. And especially if you think of all the elderly, all the grandparents who lost their lives, who were so greatly affected in some way, shape, or form by COVID. And especially in Italy, in northern Italy, the elderly population there just devastated by COVID. So this is a beautiful thing and a reminder, a beautiful message, as Joan will explain to us, a reminder that we are never alone, that as it says in Scripture, as Jesus promises us, I am with you until the end of the age. So looking forward to both conversations with Joan Lewis and Dr. Ray Guarendi. Also, ask for your prayers as I travel today after the show, heading down to New Orleans, where I'm going to be giving a talk for the Legatus chapter down there. Legatus is a wonderful Catholic organization. It was founded by Tom Monahan, the former owner of Domino's Farms and a very, very, very strong Catholic businessman. And Legatus means ambassador. And so it is for people in the business world who are trying to evangelize in their workplace and help others recognize Jesus and the Catholic faith, but really good business practices, just showing the way to live properly, both in the world, of course, being in the world, but not of the world. So they have many, many chapters around the country and around the world. And I'm looking forward to speaking down there in New Orleans. I'm really just looking forward to being with people again and speaking events. I mean, it's great that we have the availability to do so much online, and that's going to continue. There'll be a lot of hybrid events, but I'm sure you like it too, to be with people. It just feels good because we're made for relationship, first with God and then with each other. And I'm also excited because one of my best friends lives down in that area, Paige, and she's going to be meeting me at Mass and dinner, so I get to have some girlfriend time with her. So that'll be a special little gift that the Lord has given me in addition to this speaking event. So let's get started. Let's see what's happening in and around the world on this Wednesday morning. Tomorrow, my dear little sis, Vanessa Denhangarma, will be filling in because I will be traveling back from New Orleans. Okay, it's a Wednesday. Let's see what's happening in the world right now. Senate Republicans are blocking a controversial Democratic voting bill, a procedural vote failing to hit a 60-vote threshold needed to move the bill forward. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell called the measure a partisan power grab and an infringement on states' rights. The measure, which pro-life groups oppose for limiting pro-life speech and disenfranchising pro-life voters, as LifeNews.com explains, would have provided welfare for politicians with a 6-to-1 match of campaign donations with taxpayer money. It would attempt to overhaul and rewrite election laws for all 50 states in one fell swoop. A new poll, meanwhile, showing a majority of Americans support the ability to vote early, but also much stricter voting ID laws. The Monmouth University poll showing more than 70% of people supporting making it easier to vote ahead of Election Day. That number jumps to 80% when it comes to people that support requiring a form of ID before a person can vote. Less than 20% thought early voting should be restricted and there should be no additional ID mandates. It comes as many states are passing election reform laws. In a message to grandparents yesterday, the Pope stating there is no retirement from spreading the faith, adding the prayers of the elderly are needed by the church and the world. In his message ahead of the first World Day for Grandparents and the Elderly, which Joan Lewis will be talking about a little bit later on the program, Pope Francis referred to his own advanced age and quoted his predecessor, Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, whom he called a saintly elderly person who continues to pray and work for the church. He said the prayer of the elderly can protect the world, helping it perhaps more effectively than the frenetic activity of many others. Benedict spoke those words back in 2012 toward the end of his pontificate, Francis said. There is something beautiful here. Your prayer is a very precious resource, a deep breath that the church and the world urgently need. Among those at the Vatican press conference yesterday focusing on the first upcoming Grandparents' Day, which takes place on July 25th, was Cardinal Kevin Farrell, prefect for the Dicastery of Laity, Family, and Life.
The Holy Father wished to give special emphasis to the elderly and to those who have suffered so much during the last 18 months. They're abandoned, they're lonely, they're on their own. How many have died alone in apartments all over the world? And it is a moment to value and to put emphasis on the great value that they have for society and the world today.
The Vatican's Dicastery for Laity, Family, and Life assembling a pastoral kit for parishes and dioceses with suggestions for how to celebrate the first Grandparents' Day. The theme of this year's event is I Am With You Always, taken from Matthew 28:20. The cardinal in charge of St. Peter's has clarified details of a ban on the celebration of private masses in the upper part of the basilica. Cardinal Mauro Gambetti, the new archpriest of the basilica, saying June 22nd that requests to celebrate instead of concelebrate early morning masses at St. Peter's by groups with special and legitimate needs may be allowed. In March, the Secretariat of State posting a communication in the sacristy of St. Peter's Basilica restricting celebration of individual masses at the basilica's many side altars. That document on private masses in St. Peter's garnered attention not only for its content, but also for its unusual format and release. As Catholic News Agency explained, previously the 45 altars and 11 chapels in the upper part of the Vatican Basilica were used for the celebration of daily masses between 7 and 9 a.m. Some of the priests who offered masses did so with small groups of pilgrims or locals, while many others were Vatican officials who offered mass alone in the basilica before starting their workday. The mayor of Silverton, Colorado, under fire after unilaterally deciding to nix the Pledge of Allegiance at city meetings. Shane Furman made the announcement during a recent meeting claiming the pledge is too divisive. Other board members in the town about 50 miles north were unhappy and challenged his authority that he had to make a change. When it came time for public comments, one person stood up to address the council and asked to recite the pledge. She was joined by several other people in attendance. Jack Cronin tells us Border Patrol agents are patrolling the ocean near San Diego after five people died trying to cross the border illegally.
Border Patrol agent Jacob McIsaac says illegal crossings through ocean channels in San Diego will set a new record this year.
Up till now, we've always had to rely on U.S. Coast Guard and CBP, Office of Air and Marine Assets, for the maritime domain. We were able to kind of commandeer two 25-foot-long safe boats, which have two outboard motors of 225 horsepower each. And we're able to take those vessels that were basically sitting dormant in Florida and implement those over here for our assets.
The new unit will be permanent in San Diego, where five people have died in recent months, boats crashing and sinking as they try and reach land.
Home prices are climbing to a record high. The National Association of Realtors saying the median price for an existing home topping $350,000 in May, which is a 23.6% jump over last year. The association noting that prices went up in every region. Meantime, the housing group says homes stayed on the market for just over 2 weeks last month. California's Human Resources Department announcing that most fully vaccinated state employees don't need to wear masks at work. Jody Guerrero reports on why some state workers are still being required, though, to wear the face coverings.
The only exception is supposed to be prison workers who must wear masks regardless of vaccination status. Although the Assembly Rules Committee says in a statement that all state capitol employees and visitors still need to wear masks. Assembly member Kevin Kiley says this enforcement sends the wrong message to Californians.
It is so just symptomatic of the unscientific, response that our state has had as a whole.
The statement also says the Capitol is following Cal OSHA guidelines, which lifted mask restrictions for vaccinated workers last week, and each department is tracking workers' vaccination status. A state worker who prefers to be left anonymous says unvaccinated Senate and Assembly workers have to take rapid COVID tests every week.
Across the country, extra unemployment benefits are drying up, but economist Ray Perryman says this will not push workers back into the labor market because there are other factors in play.
The biggest single factor appears to be just a critical shortage in availability of quality child care in order to allow people to return to work.
The supplemental insurance benefits added to the unemployment checks by the federal government in March of 2020. It has since been renewed twice by Congress, but as the economy is reopening, companies have complained about a lack of available workers. And we'll be right back on Catholic Connection coming up on a Wednesday.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at avemariaradio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to avemariaradio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
June 23rd, Catholic Connection on a Wednesday morning. Teresa Tomeo with you. This program co-produced by Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. And you know our guest, Dr. Ray Guerrendi, very well from his own program here at EWTN and Ave Maria Radio, as well as his website, his many books, his speaking engagements, his TV programs on EWTN. His latest book, Jesus the Master Psychologist, Listen to Him, published by our friends at EWTN Publishing. And Ray, wow, what a topic to tackle in a book. Why did you decide to take a look at our Lord as a master psychologist? Good morning.
Well, the main reason is because I wanted to compare psychology and what our Lord said, but the secondary reason is that I rarely get on your show unless I write a book, so I decided I better write another one so you'll have me on your show.
That is not true. I invite you on lots. You're just so busy with all of your fans and your speaking engagements that you don't respond to Andrew quickly enough.
I have a listening audience close to 74 people.
There you go. No. Yeah. You're busy. All right, so let's talk really about our Lord as the master psychologist. What do you mean by that?
Everybody knows Jesus came to redeem the whole world. That was his mission. But he said a lot of things. He taught. And he taught in some pretty cool ways, too. You ever see that TV, the advertising pros, you know this because you've been in that business. Mm-hmm. They're like pissy. You know, well, where's the beef? We have the meats. You know, they pay millions for those kinds of memorable lines. Well, when Jesus taught, judge not lest you be judged. He who humbles himself will be exalted. He who exalts himself will be humbled. He was really good at that. He taught things that even non-Christians say now. So at the basis of his psychology is memory. The stuff lingers with us. And every shrink will tell you, when you walk out of that office, if you don't remember what we talked about, forget it. It's not going to be any good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the first thing, Kate. So he's real good at that. He knew exactly how to do it.
Okay, and then what else motivated you to write this book?
Psychology says we're enlightened. We have the way to live, the way that you can be happiest and most content and least anxious and least depressed. So how come our stats on that stuff are off the charts right now? You believe the recent polls, we're miserable. As a culture, we're a very unhappy people. And Jesus, here's the thing, Pete. This is the dumbest thing that you can say about Jesus. And the interesting thing is, and I talk about this in the book, the interesting thing is that the smartest people in their own minds say the dumbest thing about Jesus. Do you know what that is, the dumbest thing you can say about Jesus?
Let me try to guess that he was a good teacher, a nice guy, loved everybody, taught about loving everybody and not judging. Something along those lines?
Yeah, he was a good man. See, I used to do evaluations for the state mental hospital. And typically, a family member brought in a son or a daughter or a father and said, this person is losing a grip with reality. The person sitting in the office knew that there was a chance they could be committed. That was the last thing they wanted. So what they did is they held it together. You could interview them for 1 hour. Think to yourself, I don't get it. Seems pretty clear. And then at the end, if you said, is there anything else you want to tell me before you go? Yeah. Did I tell you I'm God? Now, that would get you committed. So.
Right.
What happens is Jesus says he's God. He talked like he was God. He acted like he was God. So that eliminated the idea that he could be a good man. And the only way he could be a good man is if he was God. Then he could be a good man. But other than that, he couldn't be. So in the very beginning of the book, I talk about if he was who he said he was, then his words are the perfect guidance for living life, no matter what modern psychology says. Now, modern psychology is coming around to agree with him in some respects. They really are. And we can talk about where that is. But modern psychology doesn't agree with him in certain other places. And Jesus' words, if he's God, are the better way to live.
Well, let's talk about what modern psychology is in agreement with Jesus. What are those areas?
When I was in grad school, there was a, you might remember this, T, although you're significantly younger than I am. When I was
Thank
in grad school,
you
remember assertiveness training? Do you remember that?
Repeat the what? I'm sorry, I missed it.
Assertiveness training?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you got to stand up for yourself, right? You got to let people know you got your rights. Nobody's going to step on me, right? Well, psychology pushed that for a long time. And now they're coming to realize that that can easily become obnoxiousness. That can easily make you unhappy if you're always hypervigilant for who's going to step on your rights or step on your sensitivities or offend you. Interestingly enough, there was a study in psychology, this is fascinating, that basically said the people who know how to turn the other cheek are generally more content.
Wow.
Who'd have thunk that, huh?
Right. But what does that mean? Because I think so many people have the wrong idea about turning the other cheek. They think it means that you have to be roll over and play dead and not, address serious wrongs.
Here's one of the best explanations I heard about that, T. Jesus said, if someone slaps you on your right cheek, right? I think he said that. It was a translation, right cheek. When somebody's standing face to face, it was an old, archaic, that time insult. a backhand across the face, all right, that essentially conveyed you're worthless. The ultimate nonverbal insult.
Mm-hmm.
Backhand across the cheek. Jesus said, give me your other cheek. In other words, you can't tell me I'm worthless. That's not within your power. You don't have that ability. So what Jesus was saying, nobody declares your worthlessness. They can't, because God has already declared your infinite value. I think that's one of the best explanations I've ever heard of that. It's not ultimate passivity in every situation. It is, don't let anyone take away your value that is given to you by God. Which makes total sense, which also taps into the whole self-image movement.
Right.
Back in the 70s, they decided that if you had a good self-image, that was just going to spill over into everything. You will have better social relations, you'll have better marriages, you'll get better grades, you'll have less pimples, you'll have less mosquito bites, you'll have less psoriasis, whatever. Well, now they're finding out that self-image isn't related to much of anything, okay? And in fact, if you pursue self-image for its own sake, you get self-centered.
Right.
So true self-image comes from God.
Right.
If God says that Teresa Tomeo is an infinitely valuable human being, that's the ultimate declaration. If Teresa Tomeo says Teresa Tomeo is a valuable human being, well, it's a big deal. So what? You're subjective. Yours is built on sand. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think there are just a couple of the areas. There's more, but you're the interviewer. You raise a question.
But my point, getting to back to that, is when we talk about self-image, aren't we really, more importantly, we're talking about self-worth?
Well, sure, God declares self-worth.
Right.
Infinite self-worth. But see, the self-image movement is a counterfeit of that. And that's one of the big areas, I think, where psychology and Jesus clash.
Right.
Because self-image, go into any elementary school. What do you see on the blackboards? What do you see on the bulletin boards? I'm unique and wonderful because there's no other flower in the garden like me, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen, research has shown that that's, let me give you a small example of that. They did an international study on math achievement. Many countries. Who scored the highest, you think, on math achievement? Take a guess.
You mean talking about male, female, or you're talking about countries?
Countries.
Japan, China.
Yes, exactly, Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. U.S. was toward the bottom. Who said that they had the most confidence in their achievement?
The United States people?
Yep.
Americans.
So the U.S. kids did among the worst, but they felt the best about it. So I think that's a classic illustration of how misleading self-image can be.
Right. We're all that in a bag of chips, even though we can't put two and two together, right?
Yeah.
We're talking with Dr. Ray Guredi. His latest book, Jesus, the Master Psychologist. Listen to him from EWTM Publishing. You can find out more at EWTMPublishing.com. I want to go back to something you said earlier, Ray, about this whole thing with this self-assertiveness. I think we're seeing more of this, even though this was a thing back in when you and I were growing up back in the 70s and the 80s. I think we're seeing more of it because of people being able to express themselves on various platforms. And now in the last few months, I think, especially since the election and since some of the issues, even within the church, with people being disappointed with bishops, and a lot of this came out within the last week after the bishops conference last week with some people in church circles thinking that they are doing good by being literally obnoxious, both in person and on various social media platforms. What would our Lord as a psychologist say about that?
Several areas. He addresses it when he says, he who humbles himself will be exalted. In other words, to humble yourself doesn't mean to put yourself down as a worm. Humble yourself means to know how you stand in relation to God. Here's the example I used to you. If you and I were standing over an anthill, and we looked down on that anthill, and I told you, Teresa, you see that one ant over there? That one is the smartest ant in the whole colony. He is so much smarter than everybody else. And that one on the other side, he is the strongest. That ant is three times as strong as anybody else. Would you be impressed?
I would ask you as a reporter, according to whom? That would be my first question.
Would you be impressed with the ants?
Yeah, maybe, if I had the evidence to show what you're saying is true.
But would you be impressed as it relates to you?
No.
Right, exactly. Why? Because they're ants, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. As far as we are above ants, God is infinitely farther above us. So what we look at as status, what we look at as assertiveness, what we look at as media fame, what we look at as intellect, what we look at as, even in a lot of respects, what we look at as quote-unquote piety, God is so far above that, it's meaningless to him. We value it, but he doesn't.
Right. Great points. More with our friend, Dr. Ray Guarendi, author, speaker, talk show host, psychologist, Jesus, the master psychologist. Listen to him. EWTMPublishing.com. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Why would God permit the devil to tempt his son in the desert? The symbolism behind those temptations, as provided by the Catholic Catechism, gives great insight into God's rationale. Jesus, driven by the Spirit, goes into the desert to live in solitude for 40 days. At the close of that period of prayer and fasting, the devil arrives to attempt to compromise Jesus' filial devotion to God his Father. Satan tempts Jesus three times, and Jesus rebuffs him three times. This is a recapitulation of Satan's seduction of Adam. Only this time he loses to the new Adam. It is also a recapitulation of Israel in the desert when the Hebrews provoked God during their 40-year sojourn. In contrast, Jesus is totally obedient to his Father's will. Jesus' victory over temptation is a prelude to his victory over sin on the cross. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
The Wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Now, when Jesus was on earth, he taught us a great lesson. He taught us that he came for the sinner, not the virtuous. He came for you because you are imperfect. Because sin comes easy to you, and sometimes you don't have the willpower to say no. But you see, if you understood the awesomeness of God in all his power and all his wonder, and he comes down to our level, he wanted to feel. How do you feel? I don't know anybody that loves anyone that much. And this imperfect being that's you and me and all of us, he did it for us. That's why you should never despair, because you're imperfect.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Dr. Ray Guarendi, my guest this morning and my dear friend. And we always joke around and I call him my much, much older brother. And people actually think that we're related. I bet you we probably are in some distant way as second or third cousins, being that our families on one side are from the same area of Italy. But who knows? But even though we tease each other a lot, we do really care about each other and think a lot of each other's work. And I love this new book, Jesus, the Master Psychologist. Listen to him, Ray Guarendi's latest, published by our friends at EWTM Publishing. All right, one of the things we were talking about this, Ray, before the break, in terms of the importance of humility, having a childlike faith but not being childish, and I'm actually going through your chapter titles, Humility is Reality, Childlike, Not Childish, and Seek to Be Meek. I think this kind of sums up what many, many, many of us are not doing right now, because we feel obligated, justified in joining in on the cacophony of different voices that are screaming at each other and not being very charitable, whether they're Christian or non-Christian. I'm seeing more of that, unfortunately, in the Christian world as well. Your thoughts?
There has to be a reason why Jesus emphasized this so, so very much. You just hit three different angles that he took this from. Why? Why did he do this? I think it's because in the infinite scheme of things, we tend to lose sight of who we are. Yeah, on one hand, T, we are infinitely valuable. But on the other hand, compared to God, our status is infinitesimal. So therefore, knowing exactly who we are and having a respect for that. In other words, if I'm screaming at you, if I'm putting you down, if I'm yelling at you, if I'm just attacking you, somehow I must feel I'm self-righteous. Feel that, of course, I'm correct and you're a wretch. And our Lord is saying, you better be very, very careful when you take that attitude. Because I'm the one who judges that, not you. And I think that's scary. Who did he reserve his nastiest, well, maybe not nastiest, scoldingest, maybe, words for? When our Lord went after somebody, who was it?
The people who should have known better.
Yeah, the self-righteous religious. Now, why would that be? These are people who are trying to be holy in their own mind. Why would he do this to them? Because what he was saying is the worst kind, the worst kind of superiority is spiritual superiority. Because nobody has the right to do that. You know, T, if I say to you, you know, I can lift a lot more weight than you can. Okay, so I can. That's one element. Big deal. But if I say to you, I'm holier than you, Teresa, our Lord says, whoa, Ray, you have no evidence or right to say that. I'm the one who says that.
So why do you think that's happening so much now in Christian circles against each other where there's so much division?
Because the world is against us, and therefore we've decided that the number one thing in our self-image, there's that self-image thing again, is holiness, is self-righteousness, all right? When our Lord said, and this is something that always has puzzled me, he said, I thank you, Father, that you have hidden from the learned and the wise, and revealed it to children. Now, wait a minute. Aren't we supposed to be smart? Aren't we supposed to know this stuff? Aren't we supposed to study? Aren't we supposed to have these very solid opinions and perspectives? Why did he say, I thank you that you've hidden it from them? And he, I think it was, because he said, you think you're wise in your own eyes, and there's the problem.
So where do we find it? By the way, if you're just joining us on Catholic Connection, chatting with Dr. Ray Guarendi on his latest book, Jesus, the Master Psychologist, from our friends at EWTM Publishing. So I always ask this question, Ray, and I'll ask it especially of you with your expertise. Where do we find the spiritual and the psychological balance? Because certainly with all the wrongs in the world and with all the problems we have within our own church that need to be addressed continuously, serious issues, grave issues of concern, how do we find that balance in raising concern and making a difference without going on the attack and being against people as opposed to working with them and raising these issues in a loving way? How do we balance that?
That's pretty simple, T. You don't get personal. Flat out. Let's say that my son or my daughter is living with someone and they want us to know this person they're living with. I can still love both of them, and they can know where I believe about what they're doing. You can't look at a problem in a church and say, I think that's a serious problem in a church, without saying that the bishop is a major jerk face.
Mm-hmm.
You could do that. That's not hard to do. But see, there's something about the human condition that says, to add oomph to my position, I have to put down. That makes no sense. It makes no sense at all.
So what should our response be to ad hominem attacks like that? What would Jesus ask us to do, and how do we respond to those people?
Well, I think, first of all, you have to be very mature. You have to say something like, I'm rubber, you're glue, whatever you say bounces off me and sticks on you, no reverses. That's one. How about this one? Twinkle, twinkle, little star, what you say is what you are. Okay. You don't like either of those two?
No, no.
All right.
Cute,
all right.
But I don't think they're very mature, but go ahead.
Oh. Okay. Sometimes I just stare back at people like that. I truly do. I just look at them with a look on my face
that says, do you hear what you're saying? Do you understand what you're saying? Because if I say anything back to them, all they do is get more inflamed. I just look at them. Like, you remember Columbo?
That was a great, great TV series, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was brilliant because he came off as kind of dumb, didn't he?
Yeah.
He more or less trapped people in their own inconsistencies. Well, I think you got to do a little bit of Columbo with some of these acts. You look at these people and you go, you got to have to explain to me why you said that. I don't understand that. Help me understand that. I don't get it. And then you'll see as they try to explain their attacks, typically they sound even more foolish. And some people actually go, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say it that way. Some people do that if you don't fire back at them. I just look at them and go, okay, help me out there. How did you decide that? How did you come to that conclusion? I want to understand.
Right.
That's what I do.
Yeah. To whom or what are you listening? What are your sources and where are you coming up with this without having anything to back it up and to just, you know, go off on these tangents, which unfortunately, again, I think we're seeing more and more. And you know, as Al said on his program this week, the devil is loving this because it's causing more division. So, Ray, this is a very helpful book. I really, really like it. Dr. Ray Grundy's Jesus, the Master Psychologist. Listen to him. Now, I'm assuming in this subtitle you're quoting Our Lady where she says at the Feast of Cana, do whatever he tells you, you know, listen to him. But you also mean listen to you if you're going to be going to Dr. Ray for some advice, I'm sure. Thanks, my brother. Good to talk to you again.
All right, Kate. Talk to you.
God love you. Great book, Jesus, a Master Psychologist. Listen to him, Dr. Ray Grundy. Of course, you hear him on EWTN's A Doctor Is In. We'll be right back on a Wednesday. Stay tuned.
Catholic law is not cynical about human government, but it does understand its limitations. Let me just quote from the Catechism. Human society can be neither well-ordered nor prosperous unless it has some people invested with legitimate authority to preserve its institutions and to devote themselves as far as is necessary to work and care for the good of all. Every human community needs an authority to govern it. Now, we know that, of course. The family has a certain authority, business has an authority, and government has certain authorities. We are blessed in that in our moment in history, governments are composed by the consent of the governed. It means we have to look beyond the political rhetoric that's used by politicians and lobbyists to sell a bill or a referendum item. And so I would just stress time and again, don't be cynical, but be prudent. Don't be suspicious, but be inquiring.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta for Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
I've been a priest for 31 years. It's a call to a total gift to Christ. It's a total gift of one's life to be conformed to Christ. You know, and that's the way I felt it when I was a young guy and I was kind of getting into religion and understanding it more deeply intellectually. It just began to hit me with a great clarity that if this is true, if God is real and God is a supreme good, well, why wouldn't I give my whole self to God? Why would I get distracted by anything else, you know? Now, again, I'm not saying that should be true for every single person on the planet. That's the way it hit me when I was a young guy, was I want to give as much as I can, my whole self, to Christ. So there's something heroic about that, where you do eschew a lot of things. You say no to a lot of things so you can say massively yes to Christ and to his demand. I think that's a heroic quality of it.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Always great to catch up with my sister, my bestie, Joan Lewis. Can't believe it was 2 weeks ago that we were together in Roma. Good Lord willing, we'll be together again soon and sooner than later. A lot going on, and love the Angelus and the audience messages, but in particular, I know that you were going to take a look at the Angelus message from Sunday. It was just so good. But there's some other interesting developments that are going on at the Vatican. So do tell. Good morning.
Well, I think the big thing that's going to affect millions of people and so forth is the fact that on today there was a press conference presenting the first World Day of the Elderly, of actually grandparents and the elderly. And it's very, very exciting. It was presented by Cardinal Farrell, who heads the Dicastery for Laity, Family, and Life. And I've been following this since the very beginning. And now it was only actually on January 31st of this year that the Pope instituted the World Day for Grandparents and the Elderly. And the minute he did that, I thought of two people, two friends, very dear to me, and I'm hoping that at some point you've met them, but they were actually the inspiration for this idea, and that's Catherine Wiley from England, who founded the Catholic Grandparents Association.
Oh, she's great. Yeah, I think I've interviewed her before.
I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Marilyn Henry, who founded the American branch of this association. And so in February, you know, when this announcement was made by the Pope, I posted some pictures of the two ladies, and the one I loved was the one of Catherine talking to Pope Francis and saying, you know, Your Holiness, you really should think about creating a World Day for Grandparents. You know, just months ago, and here we are.
Wow.
And so I've interviewed them for Vatican Insider, and someday I think I'll just put that show up because it's one of the timeless things about this World Day. Now, actually, it will be on celebrated this year, the first one, on July 25th, because the Pope wanted, when he established the day, he wanted it to be celebrated as close as possible to the Feast of St. Anne, which is on that day. It's the Sunday closest to the Feast of St. Anne in July. And, of course, the grandmother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And I think we, you know, how much have we thought about the Holy Family, Teresa? And anybody, you know, even in their sleep could say Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. But we forget that how about Mary and Joseph? They had, you know, parents as well. So there's grandparents in that lineage. But a wonderful message put out, a wonderful talk given by Cardinal Farrell on this day, and then eventually online, and I'll be posting some of it today, the various celebrations that will occur and should occur in various dioceses will take place. But I thought it was so cute because Cardinal Farrell pointed out that he really stressed, as the Pope has, the word tenderness. And he said tenderness towards the elderly is needed because, as the Pope recalls in his message of today, the virus has been much harsher with them. And I love these words. For this reason, the Pope hopes that an angel will visit and will come down to console them in their solitude. And the Pope imagines this angel looks like a young person who visits an elderly person. You know, so very, very, very moving words. But the wonderful thing is the Vatican also announced today that there would be a plenary, all the conditions, usual conditions granted, there would be a plenary indulgence associated with the with this celebration, and then I'll give some of the, you know, most people know most of the things you have to do to get an indulgence, but in case people forgot, you know, I will put those up on my blog as well. So,
and this has to mean an awful lot to be to people in Italy, especially because the elderly were so hard hit in Italy. And talking with our you know, mutual friend Joffrey when I was there, he's American, as you know, who's lived in Italy for many years. He said it was just so devastating because the elderly, unlike in America, unfortunately, are so appreciated, their wisdom, and they're just treasured as part of the Italian family. And yet so many struggled so much, and so many elderly lives were lost, especially in the northern part of Italy due to COVID.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and people just even getting sick, you know, the grandparents getting ill, being in the hospital, nobody being allowed to
see them,
dying alone. Dying alone, that is to say, without, you know, your family or close friends, because, of course, nursing staff would be there. But, you know, they were falling like dominoes, really. And I think that's when my heart bled so much last year. I never, ever did my heart bleed for 1 minute for myself. I was praying for those who couldn't celebrate big events in their life, who couldn't be with, you know, family and friends who were dying. so many important events had to be called off or done on such a low scale that they all, you know, a wedding or something. Instead of having your 200 guests, you could have 8 people or something. Well, I think you had the same thing, did you not?
With my mom, yeah. We were talking about that with one of my friends yesterday. Her mother died not too far, in connection to my mom's death, and we were both saying how our dad said these beautiful funeral masses and these great send-offs, and so many people coming to, share their memories and give us their condolences, and yet it was just very, very small and barely awake, just the immediate family, and then a Christian burial at the grave, and then we didn't have a mass until. She died in March, didn't have a mass until August, and it was, I'm grateful that she died before everything was shut down. It was right on that brink, but at the same time, once she passed, then all the shutdowns took place, and we couldn't go forward with the mass. So it was very difficult, so I can only imagine what it was like for people over in Italy as well. My mom did not die of COVID, so there was a whole different aspect there, but knowing that the people were in the hospitals and then died alone, your heart just tears apart. So this is, I think, a very nice way of maybe paying tribute.
Really.
Yeah, mm-hmm, absolutely.
Well, you know, one of the other things that the Cardinal said today, he referred to the theme of this day for grandparents and the elderly. I am with you always. That will be the theme this year. But he said, in a frayed and hardened society emerging from the pandemic, not only is there a need for vaccines and economic recovery, fundamental, but also for relearning the art of relationships. In this, grandparents and the elderly can be our teachers, and that's why they're so important. So absolutely true, you know.
Yeah.
And if anybody needed and felt relationships, it would be grandparents, you know, because if they happen to be living alone, their kids have families of their own and live apart and et cetera. So it'll be a beautiful celebration, and I can't wait to see some of the plans that they have out there, and the dioceses will be doing, and everything else, because the dicastery has been in touch, obviously, with different dioceses as far as celebrations go. So, and then there is a video. I'll put that up later today. It's a video of the Pope talking about this first World Day of Grandparents, and it's available with lots of different subtitles, different language subtitles. So I'll be putting that up as well. But I'm excited for Catherine and for Marilyn and all their years of hard work. And just, you know, a little suggestion. So, Holy Father, why don't you think about a day for grandparents?
Okay.
I'll
work on that. I'll do that. That's great. Yeah, okay, let's talk a little bit about some more good news. There's restrictions that are being removed. And in your email, you told me that our dear friend Claudio from our favorite hangout. How many times did we eat there when I was there 2 weeks ago? I think at least 3, right?
Probably. I think it was 3. And I always go on a Friday and whenever I can on a Monday.
Uh-huh.
And so I was there last night, and I think had I gotten there 10 minutes later, I wouldn't have been able to get a table outside.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a number of people inside, but almost everybody, obviously, the gorgeous weather, wanted to be outside. So the fact that one restaurant I know, and I'm guessing there's others in the city, you know, have people kind of lining up to, the interesting thing is two restaurants across the street have never reopened. They closed and never reopened. But in any event, that's exciting. And then it seems that as of June 28th, we will be able to go outside without wearing a mask.
Wow, I thought that was going to happen in July. When we were there, our guide and driver, Fabio, was telling us it was going to happen in July, but it's going to happen by the end of the month. That's awesome.
Yeah, that came out in some of the news, because most of the news here about any kind of changes vis-a-vis being together, restrictions, et cetera, it's a Monday or a Friday that the new stuff comes out. So yesterday it looked like it was going to be June 28th. Apparently, there's going to be the caveat, please always have one in your pocket or your purse, but, I'll have 10 of them if I'll hand them out to other people. But as long as we can walk down the street and not have them, then that is a huge step forward. for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, and the other restaurants, what I just wrote my Tease Italy newsletter that went out yesterday, and I was talking about the fact that,
it's
very comfortable there. It's not, even though now you're starting to get some, as I mentioned in my article, you are getting the Romans and those who are visiting Italy from Europe, those who can come in. They are, you know, nice, comfortable, I don't want to say crowds, but you know, comfortable groups of people, but not to the point where it's always, for example, June, we both know, is an extremely high season in Italy. Anytime you go to Italy, as I said in my newsletter, there's going to be lines, but not now. Not now. You can go to the Vatican Museums. You can go to other places. The Trevi Fountain, Joan, I could not believe it. I don't know if I told you this when I was there, but I went down to the Trevi Fountain, as I always do, and there were people, there were couples, and it was, but it was so nice because you didn't have to, you know, wait 15 minutes to get down to the fountain, go down the steps and get down to the actual fountain itself to throw your coin in. And it was just so beautiful. It was nice. It was friendly. I kind of felt like the La Dolce Vita days, you know, in the 50s and the 60s, as I said in my newsletter, you know, because that was when most people, unless they were, let's say, college students who were an exchange student, because of the transatlantic crossings of the boats, it was reserved for, you know, fewer people who could afford those types of trips before the, you know, the planes started making those long distance travels. But boy, it was just great going everywhere. But it was busy. It wasn't overwhelming.
I think that you've hit the nail on the head by saying overwhelming. And anything would be overwhelming, especially in hot months. I mean, you know, you hear of drivers more road rage, you know, when months are hot, in hot weather. So, but you're absolutely right. Now is the time. And I think it'll be that way. I think there's a lot of people that are going to come back, that are happy to come back, people writing me that they've made their plans. Then there's others who are probably going to wait. Maybe I'll go in the fall and I'll see how summer goes. But
Well, the fall's a great time to go. Any time's a great time to go, but the fall is a great time to go. It's beautiful because it's warm enough where you don't have to bundle up, but it's just so comfortable. All right, my dear, we are out of time already. Can't wait to catch up with you again next week with more good news about Italia. And I want to read more about the Grandparents' Day, and maybe that's another follow-up interview we can do because that's so important. Awesome.
Absolutely. So.
All right, we will talk soon.
Ciao.
Okay, ciao. Joan Lewis from EWTN. Check out her great program and all of her great articles and blogs, Joan's Rome, and we'll be right back on a Wednesday morning. Stay tuned.
Nestled under the warm Florida sun is a university whose name indicates a vocational call. Ave Maria, Latin for Hail Mary, recalls the angel Gabriel's announcement to Mary of her future vocation, becoming the Mother of God. Enriched by God's grace, Mary freely ascends to this call. This is the model for all students. Come to Ave Maria University, where you'll be empowered to clearly see your vocational call, whatever that call might be. Ave Maria University, your vocation location. Visit avemaria.edu.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
We need EWTN Radio for the reason that Mother Angelica founded this entire enterprise. She always saw this as a spiritual growth network. It was to be an enterprise in media that reached people in all aspects of their life. She saw this as a holistic approach to reaching the whole person in the middle of the world and bringing them truth and life.
Raymond Arroyo thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
From the archives, this
is the wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The Eucharist is the one presence of Jesus that's real. It is the presence of God he promised to leave. I will not leave you orphans. There is no comparison between the other presences of God. The presence of God is in his word. The presence of God is in me and you, or you would dissolve into nothingness. The presence of God is in creation, in the air we breathe. But when that priest says, "This is my body, and this is my blood," that is the real presence of God, body, blood, soul, and divinity. It is Jesus himself alive.
For more about Mother Angelica, visit EWTNRC.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
If you have any questions about a program you heard today or maybe yesterday, or if you have a question about something we do here at Catholic Radio, just give us a little note at EWTN.com or AveMariaRadio.net. You can also find out some background information about the various programs. You can get updates on our radio and TV schedules. It's all there for you online. And remember, we are here to keep you connected to your Catholic faith. And as my dear, dear friend and Catholic Radio colleague Al Cresta always says, to help you remember to look at everything in our lives through the lenses of Scripture and the teachings of the Church. And remember what I always say, something I heard years ago, that our Catholic faith has to be everything to us. It has to come first. I'll never forget that. I heard a priest give a homily, and this was during one of the most contentious elections recently, and he said, our Catholic faith shouldn't be a factor when we go into the voting booth. It should be the factor. Because, again, we have to look at everything through the lenses of Scripture and the teachings of our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. Hope you enjoyed the program today, and we'll talk to you tomorrow on Catholic Connection.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.